Somebody made the observation that the ongoing impeachment trial in the Senate has become a show of the octogenarians. And the reference, of course, is to the two gentlemen who are standing out in every hearing, and both of them more than 80 years old. Their Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile, who this month, February 14, will be 88. And then you have the lead defense counsel, Serafin Cuevas, who is 83 years old. It is challenging, even as I watch or listen to the radio when I'm in my office, it is challenging to see these men advanced in age yet remaining very sharp in their mental acuity and competence. Nakakagulat yung kanilang kalistuhan ng isip sa kabila ng kanilang advanced age. And they stand tall above their much younger colleagues, and they present an image of reliable maturity. We can say that these are men who matured with age. And maturity is also a goal of the Christian life. Ideally, the longer we are in it, the more mature we should be. Kung kano tayo katagal sa buhay ng pananampalataya, ay dapat lumalago yung ating maturidad sa pananampalataya. Unfortunately, this does not follow in the spiritual realm. There are Christians who are cases of prolonged immaturity. Well, beginning today, I will use a portion of the scripture with such a portrayal of maturity in the person of Paul. Although the word mature itself does not occur in this portion, but the model that Paul presents is that of being a mature Christian. And that portion, as our calendar indicates, is going to be the latter section of 2 Corinthians, extending from chapter 10 to chapter 13. Now, this latter part of 2 Corinthians is a difficult challenge to any interpreter. And the reason is because of a radical departure from the tone of the first 9 chapters. Kung babasahin natin ang chapters 10 to 13 ng 2 Corinthians, parang ibang-iba yung dating niya kung ihahambing mo sa first 9 chapters ng 2 Corinthians. The most notable difference is the sharpness of language adopted by Paul in the latter section, in contrast with the remarkable gentleness of the earlier section. In the earlier section, you have Paul appealing so gently. As for example, in chapter 7, verse 2, he says, "Make room in your hearts for us." Very tender, very appealing. Yet beginning in chapter 10, the tone and language will shift to something of a sharp rebuke. And we can say confrontational. Now, several theories are adopted to explain this. Now, we can immediately dismiss the theory that there are at least two authors. May mga nagsasabi na iba yung author ng chapters 10 to 13 kesa sa author ng chapters 1 to 9. We can dismiss that. We believe that it is the same Apostle Paul. But let me tell you the background before we go to our text this afternoon. He has stated that in a previous letter, this is a letter prior to 1 Corinthians, which no longer exists. In that letter, he stated that he was planning to visit Corinth. But then, he writes 1 Corinthians in order to explain the delay. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there is an open door in Ephesus, a great opportunity. And he said, "I cannot leave." And so he explained his delay of visit in the first letter to the Corinthians. Instead of himself visiting, he sent Timothy to visit the Corinthian church. But then the report of Timothy was that the church was in a mess. The church ay talagang magulo at hindi kaya ni Timoteo lamang na ayusin ang gulo sa iglesia. Therefore, Paul made a quick visit to Corinth. And this is the visit which he described in 2 Corinthians 2:1 was a painful visit. Paul was abused by some of the leaders in Corinth. And Paul was deeply wounded by this. And in addressing these people, he made a very sharp rebuke of the church. And when he left, he wrote another letter which he described as severe. Now, my unang letter prior 1 Corinthians, no longer existing. after 1 Corinthians, another letter which he described as severe, no longer existing, before writing 2 Corinthians. And that severe letter was carried by Titus to deliver. So he dispatched Titus to deliver that letter that he described as severe to Corinth. And then in anxiety and even depression, Paul went to Macedonia, and there he met with Titus bearing mixed news. There was a happy news. Most repented. Most in Corinth repented, and Paul rejoiced. In fact, the word he used could be translated as euphoria. He was in euphoria because of the news that most of those in Corinth, as a result of his severe letter, repented. They were penitent. That's the happy part of Titus' news. But then at the same time, there was still a small minority who remained in opposition, in adamant opposition to Paul. Now, it is in this light that we can understand the change of the tone and language in our present section. The first part, chapters 1 to 9, would be for those who have expressed their sorrow and repentance, and Paul was very encouraging, very gentle, telling them to affirm their love to those who have repented. But then the second part, our section, is for the small minority who retained their rebellious attitude to Paul. And here, Paul was going to change gear. And I would invite you now to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So this opening of the section is very instructive for us in one of the most challenging duties of the Christian life. Do you really want to know if you are maturing? Some think that the test of maturity is knowledge of doctrine. Now, I encourage everyone to know as much as they could of doctrine. Others think that maturity means knowing verses. And again, I encourage everyone to know as much as they could know of the verses of Scripture. But let me tell you, here is a real challenge of true maturity. One test of maturity for any Christian is, listen to this, readiness to confront the fault of brethren. So let it come back to you. Mature na ba ako? Ito ang isang pagsubok. Isang pagsubok ay kaya ko bang kumprontahin ang aking kapatid patungkol sa kanyang kamalian, patungkol sa kanyang kasalanan. And in this, Paul is giving us a very useful model of how to do it, in what spirit, and how to proceed as a mature Christian. This is my message. Mature fellowship in the church calls for readiness for Christian confrontation. Ang ugnayang may maturidad sa iglesia ay tumatawag ng kahandaan ng pagkumprontang Kristiyano. Mature fellowship in the church calls for readiness for Christian confrontation. The idea of many of fellowship in the church is all about pleasant meetings. Pag narinig mo yung anunsyo, oh, may fellowship tayo, eh agad ang papasok ay masaya to. Pag fellowship, masaya agad ang karugtong. Fun. But here is a lengthy passage, 4 chapters in all, where the dominant tone is confrontational, but it is still fellowship. And there is maturity tested. Am I mature enough in my fellowship with my brethren that I am willing to confront? But you will note that I call this Christian confrontation. I imply that there can be an unchristian confrontation. So what then is Christian confrontation? At the very least, it will have these two components if we follow the example of the Apostle Paul. First, appreciating the positive with sincerity. Ang unang sangkap ay pagpapahalaga o pagkilala sa mabuti ng may sinseridad. Appreciating the positive with sincerity. Secondly, overcoming our reluctance with integrity. Daigin natin ang ating pangingimi ng may integridad. Overcoming our reluctance with integrity. So the first thing in Christian confrontation is appreciating the positive with sincerity. Here, as we begin this series, starting with chapter 10, we must make the obvious observation, it only comes after chapters 1 to 9. What's the point of that obvious observation? Well, it shows that the confrontational section comes later than the appreciative section. The early section is full of commendation of those who repented. Paul was a very encouraging pastor and friend. He instructs the members to affirm their love to those who, though they wronged but were now penitent. Paul was very encouraging. He was commending. He was recognizing. And this is something that we need to do. It is Christian to readily commend the fruits of grace in our brethren, whatever their flaws. Makakristyanong kilalanin natin ang mga bunga ng biyaya sa ating kapatiran, kahit pa mayroon silang mga kamalian. Ano pa man yung kanilang mga kahinaan, kamalian, kung nakikita mo yung bunga ng biyaya, dapat mong kilalanin. Paul does that here. In fact, he does that as well in 1 Corinthians. And if you know 1 Corinthians, it has a lot of headaches to deal with. The headache of partisanship, the headache of a mess in the use of gifts, mess in the Lord's Supper. A lot of headaches, and yet before Paul would open his mouth about those things, he had things to commend in the church. Not only in the Corinthian correspondence, the letters of Paul are full of this pattern of appreciating first. The one outstanding exception is Galatians. But there, the problem is the gospel. And Paul would have none of running around the bush when the gospel is at stake. So Galatians is the one outstanding exception. But everywhere else, before Paul would open his mouth or write his pen with criticism, he would first appreciate. He would commend something that can be commended. Where do you think Paul learned this habit of appreciating the positive first, even when there are flaws? Well, I believe it is from the Lord Jesus himself. Paul says it here, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, if you read the words that follow from Paul, you might say they are anything but meek and gentle. But nonetheless, Paul's motive is the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And this indeed is the character of our Savior. Ito ang karakter ng ating tagapagligtas. Matthew 11:29, Jesus himself said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. The messianic character of, according to the prophecy which Jesus quotes in Matthew 12:19 and 20, is that he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. So he was not one to quarrel. He was not one to cry aloud. Eh kung itatagalog natin to sa balagsak na wika, ay sasabihin hindi siya bungangero, hindi siya butangero, hindi siya palaaway. Hindi siya taong mayat-maya ay may katalo, may kaaway, not pugnacious, not contentious. And very touching are the words, a bruised reed he will not break. Yung bang tambo na mapuputol na, ay hindi niya tutuloy-tuloy putulin. And a smoldering wick, yung kandilang may upos na lamang, ay hindi raw niya papatayin. Ibig sabihin, yung pinakamaliit na ebidensya na pwede pa, pinakamaliit na ebidensyang may mainit pa ay kanyang pagyayamanin. Sa atin, makita natin yung upos na yon. papatayin na natin, yun ang uunahin natin. If we are followers of Christ, we must follow the model of our Lord, which is what Paul is doing here. We have a very small organ in our brain known as hypothalamus. It has, although small, it has big functions. And one of those functions, among others, is it creates what scientists or doctors call the survival mode. When the body is in grave danger, like nagugutom, walang pagkain, nasa desierto, walang mainom, what the hypothalamus does is adjust the body so that the little that the body can use for its own survival, it will hyperactivate. Well, the body of Christ should have those brethren who are like the hypothalamus. Despite weakness, they see what can be useful. They can see the positive. That's what we need to be. And the challenge is to do that, be sincere. Be sincere in recognizing the graces of your brethren, because those graces are of the Spirit. Maging sincero tayo sa pagkilala ng mga biyaya ng ating mga kapatid, sapagkat ang mga iyon ay mula sa Espiritu. Without sincerity, commending the positive erodes into flattery. And we are not told to flatter. The way to be sincere is to understand that when you see gracious characters, they are of the Spirit. And you should rejoice because of the evidence of the Spirit in your brother or sister. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Why wouldn't we rejoice? Beware of blinders to the work of grace in your brethren. And those blinders may be in very subtle forms. A very common one is the spirit of fault finding. Fault finding that is often couched in the language of concern. O concern na concern ako sa kapatid na yon, at kung ano-anong sinabing paninira, hindi ganun ang tunay na malasakit. A fault-finding spirit blinds one to the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit just because all it sees is the fault. Then there's also that blinder called suspecting and imputing. Imputing motives to make the good seem evil. Ay, kaya lang niya ginagawa yan ay dahil ganito. At kung meron tayong ganung pag-iisip, there's no sincerity in it. All of us, we must bear in mind the very simple observation, all of us have flaws. All of us have weaknesses. But if we belong to Christ, we have the graces of the Spirit. And however weak those graces may be, they may be the smoldering of a weak, recognize them as the Messiah would. Isn't this how Jesus dealt with the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation? Despite the headaches, he would always begin, at least of five churches, he would begin with something to commend. That's something we need to be Christ-like. How much less conflict there would be between brethren if we follow the pattern of Christ and the model of Paul. In fact, how much better even our confrontations can be conducted if we follow this pattern of appreciating grace. There is this well-publicized conflict between very good friends, John Wesley and George Whitefield, on doctrines first, but then at a certain point, George Whitefield overreached himself when he wrote in public about a private fault of John Wesley, and that wounded John Wesley deeply. But George Whitefield apologized, and later the two would reconcile and would restore their friendship. And in fact, when George Whitefield died, it was John Wesley who preached his funeral sermon. But the point is that it happens. Those conflicts happen. And if only we are able to recognize the positive features of grace in our brethren, how easier even confrontations can be conducted. So how do we do maturely our confrontations so that it is Christian confrontation, appreciating the positive with sincerity? Then secondly, there is overcoming our reluctance with integrity. Daigin natin ang ating pangingimi ng may integridad. The language of Paul here reveals the reluctance he feels as he was to confront, as he was to begin this confrontational portion. Listen to him. "I beg of you," he said, "that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness." In other words, Paul is saying here, I don't want to do this at all. He was reluctant. It is not Paul's first choice, if he could help it. It wasn't his choice to have a confrontational meeting, but if possible to avoid, he wants to avoid it. What do we learn here? What we learn is that it is natural to feel reluctant to confront, and it is correct to seek to avoid it in the right way. Natural lang na mangimi tayo na magkumpronta, at tama na hanapin natin yung tamang pag-iwas dito. We all want to maintain a pleasant atmosphere to prevail in all our relationships, and that must prevail in the church. We want to maintain a pleasant relationship, and it is not wrong at all to seek to have and maintain a pleasant relationship. It is right to seek pleasantness with people. It is wrong to enjoy quarreling. There are people I know who seem to always fall into conflicts, even of the most petty issues, not worth quarreling. Here is a memory verse that I want you to inscribe on your brains. Proverbs 20, verse 3. "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." So when you keep starting a quarrel, that's not being brave. Proverbs says it's being a fool. So let's not keep on quarreling on petty matters that need not be an issue of quarrel. Huwag tating pag-awayan ang lahat na lang ng bagay. But note, however, I said we must seek to avoid confrontational encounter in the right way. Again, listen to Paul. "I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Translation, "Unless you can show me that there is a right reason to avoid being bold, then I intend to be bold." That's what Paul is saying. Kung hindi nyo maipakita na hindi ko kailangang maging magkonfronta, ay kukonfrontahin ko kayo. Magpapakatapang ako sa inyong harapan. Now, this is mature. It is mature to seek to avoid, but when it cannot be avoided, it is mature to intend to be bold. Here is a mature balance in matters of confrontation. It will not be our first choice. Avoid where we can rightly avoid it, but without the right ground, it is only right to intend to be bold when demanded by circumstances. There is another organ in the brain, also a small organ known as amygdala. Its function is storage of memories that are emotional. And this is something we need. We need to address issues that may be emotional, but we need those emotional encounters sometimes for the health of the body. And the challenge is, how do we do that? Let integrity define your relationship with brethren in the church. There is a statement here which is, unless explained, we might miss. Paul is actually quoting the criticisms of his opponents in Corinth, their criticism of Paul. The criticism is, "I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away." Now, it's not Paul's self-description. He is quoting the criticisms of his opponent. Anong sinasabi nila kay Pablo, matapang yan pag mabang loob yan pagkaharap kami, pero pag umalis na, doon siya matapang. In short, they're accusing Paul of backbiting, and backbiting is lack of integrity. Being nice in front of the person and then turn ugly at his back is to be without integrity. And Paul is denying that altogether. Paul is not like that at all. That is why he is preparing for confrontation. He is not double-faced. He is not double-tongued. Kahit handa siyang harapin sila ng may katapangan. In other words, to have integrity means if there is something you must raise which is a valid issue, tell it to his face, not at his back. If it is not a valid issue, do not tell it to his face, nor at his back. If it is valid, tell it to his face, not at his back. That's integrity. Maturity takes into consideration our moral responsibility to do good to our brethren. And that includes telling him to arrest what may prove to be destructive to him. Listen to Leviticus 19:17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Now, if you take that at its face value, perhaps our reaction is, oh no, I don't hate my brother. And I can prove to you that I don't hate my brother. You really want to prove that you don't hate your brother? Leviticus 19:17 continues, you shall surely rebuke him and not bear sin because of him. So kung sasabihin mo, hindi ako namumuhi sa aking kapatid, at ang inisip natin ay hindi ako namumuhi sa kanya dahil mahal ko siya, eto ang isang panukat, isang pagsubok, ay handa mo ba siyang sawayin? Kung nakikita mo ang kasalanan, handa mo ba siyang konprontahin? We think of rebuking as an act of hating. On the contrary, rebuking is an act of love. This is what Paul will do in this section, which will be our series. He will tell them to their face, honestly. When you feel reluctant to do so, it is not wrong. It is but natural to feel reluctant. But then, resolve that you will deal with your brother and sister with integrity. Proverbs 28:23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters. Sa unang dating, baka talikuran ka ng kapatid, manlamig siya sa iyo, magtampo siya sa iyo. Expect that. It's the natural reaction of our sinful personality. But I've had people, years later, after rebuking them, who come back to me with appreciation and deeply touched by the fact that they've been dealt with honestly. And this is what our text is saying. Afterward, you will have more favor than he who flatters. When you are at the receiving end of a confrontation done with integrity, I ask you to receive it humbly. Proverbs 20:30, blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. And when somebody does that to you, because however reluctant he was, he chose to deal with you with integrity, appreciate it. Such people are rare. And when someone does that to you, appreciate it humbly. So don't tell it to someone else at the back of the person to whom you should have integrity. Augustine would often have meetings with his students around his dining table. But on that dining table is the inscription, "Who is not here cannot be discussed." Ang wala rito, hindi pwedeng pag-usapan. And that's a good rule. And the point is, if you have something to raise, have integrity, that's how the Lord deals with us. And that's how we are to deal with one another. So here again is the question, are we mature? Am I mature? It's good to know doctrines. It's good to know verses. It's good to know the story of the Bible. But here is one important test. Do you have sincerity enough to appreciate the graces evident in your brethren? And do you have integrity enough to overcome reluctance in order that you may deal confrontationally with your brethren? A fellowship that will be mature is not just about fun. It will have that part of confrontation. And so, and as we think of it this way, let us think of this concourse of relationship of brethren in the church as a means of grace, so that we grow in graces together, and growing in graces together includes those sharp tools of confrontation in the Christian way. Let us sing our last hymn, "Create in us, O Lord, a holy fire." And this prayer for that holy fire in the church is something that happens through sincere fellowship of the brethren with integrity. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, hangad nga po namin na bilang mga mananampalataya ay huwag kaming manatili lamang sa isang baitang ng aming pananampalataya, kundi kami ay lumago at may paglagong kawangis ng aming Panginoong Heso Kristo. At narito ang isang hamon ng paglago na kung saan may maturidad ang Kristiyano at ang Iglesia, ay kasama rito ang tungkulin ng pagkonfronta ng aming mga kasalanan. Isang bagay na hindi madaling gawin, ngunit dito ay nagpapakita si Pablo kung paano niyang tinularan at naging kauangis ng kanyang Panginoong Heso Kristo. At nawa gayon din kaming magsumikap na tulad ng aming Panginoon ay naroon ang aming saloobin ng pagmamahal sa aming kapatiran, na kasama sa pagmamahal ay ang pagkonfronta ng kasalanan. Help us that as we have our fellowship with one another in this church, may it be a mature fellowship that includes readiness to confront in a Christian way. And confronting in a Christian way includes appreciating the positive with sincerity. Grant that we may not be overcome by blinders such as fault finding, suspecting, imputing, that tends to focus on the fault of our brethren without seeing the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, may we be like the Lord Jesus, who would not break a broken reed, and help us that we may be able to appreciate those evidences of graces in our brethren despite the faults that we all have, and may we therefore follow this kind of maturity that is sensitive to the graces, and yet at the same time we may overcome our reluctance with integrity. Indeed, it is right to be reluctant to confront. It is right to seek a way of dealing with our brethren without the necessity of confrontation. But there are those times when confrontation is called for, and rebuking is an act of love. And may we do so with integrity, not as the unfair criticism of the Corinthians of Paul, of being humble in front and yet being bold at the back. May we not be like that. May we have that integrity that we may be able to say to our brethren what need to be said in honesty and sincerity. So grant that this church may grow in that kind of relationship where there is integrity towards one another. Love that rebukes, love that confronts, love that understands, and yet love that will not rejoice in iniquity. And as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, may we be reminded of our Lord's dealing with us, His gentleness and meekness, and yet He is our true Lord who will deal with our sins as graciously and yet firmly. May we do likewise. towards one another. We give you glory for such a challenge, and we pray that we may be mature in responding to the challenge. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.